Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today we have a special guest, Heather, with us. We're super excited to have you and have you share your journey with us. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm really excited. You have, it looks like you got your own blog, you've written a book. You really are out there to educate people in regards to Lyme, about mold and chronic illness. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because when I got back into business a couple of years ago, I actually got in just like doing autoimmune and mental health stuff. And people who knew me were like, why aren't you talking about Lyme? And I'm like, have you met a Lyme patient before? Like, that's some heavy, complex, complicated, right? Like type of work. I'm like, nah, man, I don't want to go there. And then it was like 7-8 months ago. It was like a godsmack. And I literally woke up one morning, was like, I'm like, I got to step back into Lyme. Like I got to, God didn't help me get on this side of the street without, being a beacon for others to be like, hey, come follow. I've got some answers. I'm amazed at all the stuff that I put out this last year. It was insane. Like, I'm so happy that my brain is intact.
Well, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, so you had your own journey. I mean, and that was a reason why you also started, I mean, God telling you that now it's time for people to know all the information you have about Lyme. I mean, autoimmune is that's a pandemic, but Lyme and, mold and chronic illness, I mean, chronic infections play such a huge role in it. So, I mean, they go hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, but talking to people just about, some diet and some lifestyle stuff, like it was amazing what I was able to do with people's autoimmune stuff with just tweaking a few little lifestyle changes. And I think that's, why I kind of liked to start there, because it was just kind of like dipping my toe in the water and okay, let's see. And it was just not as heavy, because again, folks with Lyme, especially chronic Lyme and mold and cavitations and heavy metals and parasites, like all the things that I had, and who've had it for decades, like it takes some time, like even Dr. Rawls, I had him on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and he's like, it took me, 2 to 4 years to completely get better after I started my healing journey. And it was like, thank you for giving that realistic timeline, because I think there's too many folks out there looking for not necessarily a quick fix, but there's definitely people out there making it sound like there's a quick fix, right?
Yes.
3 to 6 months or what pill, or they focus on treatment. And that's one thing that I love to talk about is like, you can't just focus on treatment when it comes to completely healing from Lyme and mold and all these things. Like there's a lifestyle component that you have to get in line, right? Before treatment really is going to even begin to work, or you're going to end up relapsing because you've missed some steps and you're going to have to go back to step one.
Perfectly said. That's absolutely true. And there's, you got to get to the root of all things, but you have to kind of first shift your mindset on what you're putting in your body, because, we are sick and we need all the help that we can get. So we got to focus on diet. And yeah, I love that you say, so many people think that if something worked for one person and they got better in 6 months, they think it's absolutely going to work for them. And it's sad because it kind of sets them up for failure. It's a heart-wrenching disease anyways. And then when we get it and we don't get better like somebody else did or somebody else said that they would, it's, I can imagine just wanting to give up.
Oh, absolutely. That's like one of my biggest, I think it's on my tagline. There is hope, and I'm constantly telling people don't give up. I actually even have it on a sticky note in my bathroom. Don't give up, because this journey can just be so frustrating, isolating, confusing, like all the things, right? But man, at the other side of it, what a gift. Like there's no way I would be living life at this level if it wasn't from the gifts that I learned going through all that mess. And how funny, Tanya, I didn't even notice that you and I both got the memo. We're both
kidding. We do. Look, he didn't get the memo.
Exactly. So how did it all start for you? I mean, where did your journey begin?
It's like, it's funny, I always tell people, it started off with me basically being born full of shit. I was 4 years old when I was sitting on the potty and for so long that my feet would fall asleep from being so constipated, you know, and that kind of started my, you know, throwing band-aids at symptoms, Western medicine model, right? The doctors were throwing thick, nasty oils down my throat, stool softeners, but nobody was trying to get to the root cause of why this 4-year-old was so constipated. You know what? My uncle had killed himself just a few months before that happened, and we were actually really close. And so it was, you know, something obviously that I couldn't stomach, right? Nobody thought to get this 4-year-old some sort of therapy, some sort of anything, right, for the loss of her uncle. And that, you know, that was just like the start of the whole trauma, right? There's been so much research about ACE scores, right? Adverse childhood events. And that the more of those that you have, the more it sets yourself up later on in life for autoimmune diseases, chronic health stuff, you know. And at one point, like I said, I had 3 autoimmune diseases, Lyme disease, mold toxicity. You know, I was just a hot mess, tried to kill myself twice, you know, once when I was 15 and once when I was 19 or 20. And again, at 15, that was 2 years after being bit by a tick. Nobody was looking deeper into why was this 15-year-old trying to take herself out, right? They told me that I was attention seeking, or, you know, they put me on antidepressants, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers, you name it. But nobody once asking me about what my diet was like, how I was sleeping at night, what was my home life like, what was my stress level like? Like none of it was ever discussed. Just again, band-aids, symptoms, band-aids.
Well, I mean, so that's how they look at it. I mean, you're anxious, so let's give you something for that. You're depressed, let's give you something for that. But it's never, you know, like you're saying, I mean, you don't look at the driving factors. Why is this taking place? You know, it becomes too much. You know, a doctor's not trained really in that arena. They just know, you know, this pill for this disease. And when it comes to, you know, they don't want to step into Lyme because all of a sudden there's a world that opens up that they don't have a toolbox for and don't understand.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely. You know, and I don't mean this to sound bashing on Western medicine, because Western medicine, for what it does, and it's acute, you know, like I've been in a car accident, I need to be put back together. Like they do that better than anyone else. They weren't taught, like, seriously, they 8 hours is from what I hear is typical of what like nutrition, right, teaching in doctor school is 8 hours, right? So really something that should be the foundation of human health, they get 8 hours.
And I think that's an elective course.
Oh my God.
Just to make it worse, you know.
Just to let you know.
You know, it's so funny. So even sometimes their ignorance, which God bless them, but then they'll even go so far as, well, I don't see how what you eat makes, you know, any difference of, you know, blah blah blah. And that just makes my head explode. It's like you can't even you know, think that there's a correlation there. Like, come on, you know, you're smart. You made it through doctor school, right? Put A and B and C together, but I don't know. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, because it's so intense when they go through medical school, and there's just, right, they're drinking from fire hose just to get all that information. Right. So they really don't have the time to even think outside of the information that's given to them. And I mean, sure, they're fatigued, all of these things, you know, it kind of set up a stage to be, you know, the brain can only accept the information that's given them. And they're so afraid to practicing outside standard of care, you know, because of all the liability that comes along with it. So it really takes bravery for someone to look outside, and that's hard to find.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've actually had a couple of people that are like, why don't you go back to school and get a license? You know, and I've had a couple integrative doctor friends of mine go, there's no way. There's no way you could go and get that kind of brainwashing, right? That grind that, you know, that they're like, no, you already know too much. So I actually kind of like playing where I play anyway. I love working with folks who actually already have like a Lyme literate doctorate in place, you know, to help with that treatment part. And then let me, like I said, let's focus on nervous system regulation, right? Let's focus on trauma. Let's focus on lifestyle. How are you eating? How are you sleeping? You know, all the things that doctors do not have the time or the education to actually take that time with their clients to get them better. You know, the nervous regulation piece, that was the biggest piece in my last part of my healing puzzle in the last couple of years, because I kept relapsing as a functional practitioner. I was really great at dialing in my diet, dialing in my sleep, dialing in my water, dialing in my supplements, but I never once addressed that trauma in my nervous system. You know, my uncle killing himself at the age of 4, or being raised by addicts, or, you know, divorce, or, you know, having a chronic disease in my brain and my body, you know, you fill in the blank, like all that stuff has a tendency to keep you in fight or flight, right? And when you're in fight or flight and there's a tiger always in the room, you're not in rest and digest and heal. You know, your body's not trying to have sex. Your body's not trying to digest. Your body's not trying to heal when it's running from a tiger. So that was like a huge piece. And it's funny, still some folks I work with and they kind of look at me like it's woo-woo. You know, I ask them, did you do your exercises today? And they're like, oh, wah, 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 wah. But I'm feeling anxious. Can you give me another supplement? And I'm like, no, I can't give you another supplement. Like, you've got to take the time to regulate your nervous system. Like, that's just, you know, we've had these subconscious patterns playing in the background for so long. It takes conscious effort to rewire that, right? It's not just something that just kind of happens in the background. We have to have attention, awareness to change that.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, what's, I mean, it's kind of like grooves in the snow, you know, where we're trying to kind of go on your skis in a certain direction, but you created these patterns. So every time you go in this location, your skis are automatically going to go back to the normal pattern. So it takes to reinforce new patterns again and again and again, and then finally after a while they'll stick. You know, the old patterns will still be there, so you'll still have a tendency to deviate. So it's just a huge conscious effort to make sure that the new patterns that you establish is not just, you know, I did it once or twice, or I took this pill. It's a lot of effort to get those patterns back. So what kind of autoimmune diseases did you deal with? I mean, obviously the anxiety, depression, I mean, what did it all look like for you, you know, when you're dealing with what you're dealing with?
So yeah, I was celiac. I still am. That's the one that I haven't been able to reverse. And I'm not sure that you can. There's a couple of them out there, like type 1 diabetes, you know, celiac, that really you can improve on, but I'm not sure 100%, or, you know, prove me if I'm wrong. Like, if somebody has reverse celiac, I'd love to talk to you and figure out how, you know, but actually this doesn't bother me, because wheat is so freaking toxic to begin with that really, even if I didn't have celiac, I wouldn't go back to eating wheat anyway, because it's causing so inflammation, so much leaky gut, so many other issues that I just, no, thank you. But then endometriosis and Hashimoto's. And so the endometriosis and the Hashimoto's I was able to reverse. So yeah, on top of the chronic Lyme, then the 3 autoimmune diseases, yeah, depression, anxiety, chronic widespread pain, a lot of gut issues, constipation, like I said, since birth, hormonal dysfunctions. What else? Rage. So definitely had some issues with BART and Babesia. Lyme rage was definitely a thing.
You kind of had a little bit of all of it, it sounds like.
Yeah, all of it. And then I found out I had cavitations. So, you know, when dentists removed my wisdom teeth when I was 15, they did it wrong and it left an infection in my jaw. You know, I actually had a physical therapist who was doing some body work on me. And she's like, right now, Lyme is not your problem. She's like, those cavitations are. She's like, if you don't get that taken care of, you'll never fully get the Lyme taken care of. Because if there's an active infection, especially so close to your brain, right? That's keeping your body's resources from actually being able to single out one thing. You know, it's too spread out, you know? So I had this infection and this inflammation going on and this thing going on. And it was a no wonder that I could never dial in, you know, the Lyme and the other stuff. And actually a lot of that other stuff had a tendency to be a bigger burden on my body than even the Lyme. Dr. Rawls again, he talked about in his book that there was a guy found in the Italian Alps or something, you know, from 5,000 years ago, like recorded with Lyme in his system, right? So we've coexisted with this bacteria for centuries, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with, like I said, again, our lifestyle and why we're all stressed out, processed food, all these things that humans weren't supposed to do. And so now this guy that we've evolved with is now wreaking havoc, right? So like I said, once I got a lot of that other stuff figured out, I never really went back in and like treated Lyme again, because I actually really don't think that was the biggest culprit in my story.
Yeah, Lyme is, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's been existing for thousands and thousands of years, and it hasn't really been that big of an issue. I mean, it may have been. I mean, people died earlier, so we don't know, you know, kind of what would have happened if they lived longer. But seemingly, we've coexisted with Lyme for a long, long time. But it's just, you know, the way we've set up our environment, you know, the kind of the stressors we're living with today, you know, the EMFs, the 5Gs, the all these things add up. And our bodies, you know, in addition to our body not knowing how to deal with these stressors because they are new, it's the same with the pathogens. You know, Lyme doesn't know how to deal with these stressors, so it's going to get aggravated. You know, mold doesn't know how to deal. You know, we've been around mold as well. I mean, mold, you know, eons of time, but it doesn't know how to deal with 5G. It doesn't know how to deal with these chemicals.
I was going to say, when you brought up EMFs, like EMFs have just supercharged mold. You know, it's made it like mold on steroids.
yeah. I mean, they are in stress response. We need to treat their vagus nerves, you know, to kind of calm them down, you know, put them parasympathetic. But they are in fight or flight, and then they secrete chemicals, and that's going to impact the environment that they are in, which is us.
Absolutely. I never thought of it like that. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a vicious cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Calm down.
Calm down.
Yeah, we all need to meditate together.
Chill out. Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
So kind of talking back about what did you work on first? We talked about your diet. And then, because I know you said you had a lot of overall body pain, and I'm assuming that's probably was coming from the Lyme. Where did you start once you kind of got the foundation going?
So, I mean, where I started in the beginning was not how I start people now. You know, I started in the beginning with the traditional Western medicine model. They threw me on a ton of antibiotics and antimalarials, and I thought I was going to die, because I had been sick for decades, right? And they were going to war with my body. Yeah. And it was a couple months after this that I was like, oh God, I am going to die. You know, for the longest time, I thought I wanted death. But then when I was actually felt like I was faced with it, I was like, no, this is not what I want. and that's when I heard the founder of FDN, which is the certification I went through, talk about on a podcast. That's why I love podcasts, right? Because they've got a far wide reach. It's beautiful what happens on podcasts. But I heard the founder speak about, you know, you've got to heal the gut, and you got to balance the hormones, and you got to make sure the detox pathways are open, you know, and all these things. At the time I was a hairstylist, I did not have a medical background, but listening to him speak, I was intuitively, like, I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is my next step. And, I did that, and I only got so much better because I didn't put in that nervous system piece. I didn't put in some of that other trauma work, you know. So that was piece two, and mold. There was no talc of mold back then, and so those were two other pieces I had to kind of go back and check. And so that's, you know, so when I work with people now, I start off by asking them about their dental health history. I ask them about mold, and I ask them about sleep apnea, because those are three things that if you don't really address first, you could have the most beautiful treatment, lifestyle program set up in the whole wide world. But if a person's not getting enough oxygen when they sleep, you know, if they're being bombarded by mold, or they've got this chronic infection going on so close to their brain, it's going to be really tough to tackle anything else. And so that's usually, let's figure that out. Let's rule that out first. And then we start. And so the FDN model is the dress for success model. So it's diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. And then in that program model, I've also added, like I said, a lot of the nervous system tweaking and some bioenergetic work to kind of help balance the bioenergetic body, because most people don't realize, you know, our heart has got a magnetic field that we measure, right, with EKGs. If that magnetic field is off and it's not talking to the brain's field or the other organ's field, and there's no coherence in the body, you know, if the right hand's not talking to the left, a lot of the symptoms and the treatments and the things that you're doing to get better aren't going to get you as well as you could as if your body was actually balanced. And so I felt like I've even gone a little deeper digging as far as like the root cause of things. And so the bioenergetic stuff helps balance out that nervous system stuff. Also some somatic experiencing work and breath work. Breath work has been such an amazing tool, and it's so easy and it's free.
Yes. Right? Like, and there's not much free when it comes to Lyme.
Breath
work is amazing.
I really love dialing it in for folks and streamlining that process. Right. And not because sadly, a lot of functional practitioners, and I tell people, if you got a functional practitioner or an acupuncturist and all they want to do is get you on supplements and run labs, and they're not talking to you about your diet or stress levels, they're no different than a Western medicine doc, and you need to run, because I dealt with a lot of those as well, right? So they just switched a prescription for a supplement, but still not asking about how I'm sleeping at night or how much water am I drinking or if I'm pooping daily, you know, those are all the things. And so it's kind of just a outline of the model of kind of how I work with folks now to, like I said, just kind of really streamline it and build these foundations so that way they have health for life. So many folks, like I said, have relapsed, and they get frustrated, right?
Yeah, so and that's something that I see a lot also with a lot of naturopathic doctors, integrative doctors, is that they try to legitimize themselves with following the medical model, which is, you know, this disease, this pill, you know, so this disease, this herb, instead of then looking at the individual as a whole, like you're saying, you know, you got to look at the whole picture. You can't just try to manage symptoms now using herbs and supplements, which obviously, yes, it's safer, but we are no better if that's how we function. So it is exactly that. We need to look at the whole individual in order to be able to see, you know, what needs to be done in order to be able to correct, you know, what's going on.
Absolutely. You guys froze there for a little bit. But I got the gist of what you were saying, and absolutely 100% agree. That was very eloquently put.
So how did you... I mean, when did you find out that you had Lyme? I mean, here you're dealing with all these symptoms and things. I mean, how did you even recognize that you had Lyme? How did you even recognize that you're dealing with mold? I mean, I heard, you know, your body worker said that in regards to the cavitation, the biofields, but how about all the other things? I mean, how did you find out?
Yeah, so I was bit by a tick when I was 13. And so I tell people all the time that I had like the perfect storm, right, to get Lyme disease. My mom took a lighter to the tick, which we all know is the wrong way to take out a tick, because it'll regurgitate what it's in its system, and you know, your chances of getting something just rose exponentially. And the autoimmune disease, celiac, so malnourished, and then the early childhood trauma, like I said, I was just kind of the perfect storm for when I got this cocktail from this tick, you know. Of course, yeah, it affected me. So I was 13. Did not develop a bullseye rash. That is a misnomer. Only like 30% of people who get infected with Lyme actually have a bullseye rash. And my mom was a nurse at the time, and she was kind of looking for that too. I was like, why didn't you ever take, because I never showed any symptoms of anything being wrong until 2 years later when I ended up in the psych ward for a suicide attempt, you know? So those were kind of the first, you know, I had Lyme knee, chronic, oh my God, my back went out the first time when I was like 18 years old, when 17, I think. I sneezed and I went down and my back locked up and I couldn't walk for 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so again, like, even the chiropractors, like, nobody was like, yo, flag on the plate here, there's something wrong. Like, your neck shouldn't be going out from a sneeze at the age of 17, right?
Definitely not.
Yeah. So fast forward, you know, many more years. I think I was 34 when I finally got diagnosed with Lyme and had it since I was 13. I was in another really low point, and a friend of mine was like, hey, have you talked to that physician's assistant, that number I gave you? And I'm like, no, not yet. Because at this point, I really didn't want to, I was done talking, right? I'm done telling the same story and being dismissed. You know, gaslighting was a very big word, I guess, this last year. And it, you know, it's very a big word in the Lyme world, is because the majority of us have been medically gaslighted for a very long time. You know, I remember talking to a doctor about, after having my kid, about how my memories from my childhood were gone. Everything before the age of like 17, I kid you not, was gone. And they chalked it up to mommy brain. You know, you just had a baby.
There's always a reason for something. There's always an excuse for something.
Yeah. And so, so I pull up my big girl panties again and I give it one more shot. And I drive to Denver, which is about 50 miles away from where I live. And I'm with this physician's assistant for 5 minutes. She was from a foreign, I don't remember where she was from, but she had this really cool accent. And she got this twinkle in her eye. And she's like, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And I'm like, bullshit. Like, how? We've been talking for 5 minutes. How on earth? And she goes, were you ever bit by a tick? And I was like, yeah, actually, I remember pulling one out of my stomach when I was 13. And from there, she gave me off to the doctor in the office, and he ran, I can't remember what he ran on me, but it was kind of inconclusive. I ended up doing a live blood analysis, a dark field microscopy, to actually see, and had results that day. And so I remember driving back home from Denver, just tears streaming down my face. And I screamed at the top of my lungs, I told you I'm not crazy. Yeah. And that's going to be the name of my book when I write the whole book, is I told you I'm not crazy, the realities of Lyme disease, because that's what I got slapped with my whole life. And that's also like a big campaign that I've been on lately, of not calling people crazy, because once you slap that stigma on them, like, it's detrimental, right? And to call somebody and give them that label when they're just having moments, right? Moments in their life. Like, I'd say 80% of the time, I was not crazy. But the times that I were having episodes, absolutely, I was batshit crazy. But you can't label somebody like that all the time when it's not an overarching theme, right? It's just pieces of their day. And so, you know, yay, I thought, woohoo, I finally have answers. The rest is history, right? That was just, you know, the beginning of the next chapter of, okay, how do you now get treatment for chronic Lyme disease, which at the time, you know, and still a lot of the medical model doesn't even recognize as it being a thing.
So what did he do? I mean, you finally got the diagnosis, and, you know, so what did he do?
Yeah. So fast forward, a ton of antibiotics with herbs, with anti-malarial stuff. Like I said, that's when I thought I was going to die. And he was supposedly an osteopath, so a DO, who had been through Lyme himself. But I find that very hard to believe looking back now, because like I said, again, he wasn't talking about detox pathways. He wasn't talking about lifestyle. It was just, you know, I was easily spending, God, at the time, it was probably $2,000 out of pocket every month.
Yeah.
To be on these things that felt like they were killing me.
Right.
And then, talk about insult to injury. I was like, damn. But then shortly thereafter is when I heard the founder of FDN speak, and then started my functional medicine route. And then it was probably about 6 months after I graduated, cleaned a lot of things up, lost like 50 pounds. My brain was working. My energy was working. Like things were coming back online. But it, I always tell people it was like that commercial. You remember that commercial? You can be clear, but not cleared and clear. And the screen looks like it's in focus until it pulls back that thingy. And then it's really in focus. And that's kind of how it felt like I was living with mold, is that there was, you know, I was so much better, but I still wasn't there. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And again, thank God it was actually the founder of FDN who was like, I've been doing a bunch of research into mold lately, you know, blah, 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 blah. Turns out the house I lived in, when we moved in there, the really intelligent people who lived there before us enclosed a back porch and put in a hot tub with drywall and carpet.
Oh, nice.
Mold city, right? But at the time, we didn't know any better on how to remediate mold properly. So we did a lot of the demo and a lot of the remodel ourselves, right? Not knowing any better. And looking back at it, like the worst time in my health history, me and my kid, was when we were living in that house. And so then that peeled back that layer. So he had me doing some silver spray up my nose to deal with the Marcons in my sinuses, as well as doing some cholestyramine and some other things to detox the mold. So again, doing really great. Cue divorce, right? So now I'm going through a divorce, complete upheaval of life. I went back to kind of my old party girl ways, the old ways I was eating. Like I was depressed, more trauma. And so I kind of just everything came back, you know? And so, and I stayed that way for about 7 years. And then it was about a year after I met my husband now, and I'm back to being inflamed. I gained like 45 pounds back. I'm moody, I'm reactive. And he finally said, I was picking on his son. embarrassing to say. And he was like, one day, stop. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on with you. I love you. I want to support you, but I'm not going to be married to an angry person. Like, you've got to figure this out. And that's kind of when I took a step back and went, okay, yeah, you're right. I don't want to live like this anymore either. And I put the call out to the universe of like, what's my next step? How do I fix this? And that's when all the trauma stuff started coming back. And I read The Body Keeps Score. Have you read that book?
It's a great book. I haven't read it. I've gone through it. I read, you know, so many books like that. You know, like, you know, Buried Feelings Never Die. And I mean, yeah, there's so many great books in that area. Yeah, but that is a great book.
His stories are very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of late in the day and I'm a little tired. They're very graphic, the stories of the trauma. And I remember reading that book just full on ugly crying on the couch, you know, just, you know, my husband's like, what the hell are you reading? I'm like, this little girl. And he's like, nope, that's it. I don't need to hear anymore. But he does it in a beautiful way though. And it does make a point. And so it got me on that route of looking into like neurofeedback and EFT and, you know, a lot of some of these other modalities to kind of help with the nervous system and the body keeps score, right? That there's trauma stored in the body. And then I did some ayahuasca ceremonies and I did some mushroom ceremonies. So did some plant medicine to kind of dig a little deeper and to open things up and learned somatic experiencing work, did some bioenergetic stuff, did some EFT heart math, right? So those are kind of the last little pieces that I've been working on over the past couple of years. And, you know, now that I have that and then my diet and lifestyle dialed in, like I haven't had a relapse in over 2 years. You know, yeah, I got COVID and I got a little bit of long COVID for about 2 months, you know, but I came through that pretty well. I've had one flu since then, but other than that, like I'm chugging right along, doing awesome.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you're strong, because I think that a bad case of COVID could definitely trigger somebody and reverse what they're going through. And now that you Absolutely. Say that, I did too. I had COVID almost a year ago. And yeah, the fatigue was, well, the COVID was horrible, but the fatigue for probably 2 or 3 weeks. But you know, I didn't have any issues from that either. So isn't that exciting to think back on? You just think about all the things that you make it through that before would things like that never cross our mind. So yeah, we are doing good. If we can get through those.
I threw everything at the kitchen sink at it and I had everything so dialed in, and it was like not letting loose. Like 2 weeks it kicked my butt, and like every day I was like 2% better. It was so bizarre. And then I lost a little hair, and the fatigue, like I said, kind of went on, and the brain fog, God, that was horrible. Cause after you get better from the brain fog and then you go back, you're like, no, like yeah. I love my brain that now that it works, it's like amazing. So, but yeah, I still didn't, for having the kind of illnesses that I've had in my body for as long, to have long haulers for 2 months after getting COVID, like that's nothing.
Right.
So yeah, I'm like, sure, no problem.
So how, what do you do? How do you help people? So you are a kind of a counselor, or you're a nutritionist, or do people reach out to you and schedule a time? I mean, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I'm a functional practitioner. So I've got a beautiful combination of functional lab work, right, as well as teaching about lifestyle, and then like I said, I've added this trauma piece, the nervous system piece to it as well. And so I work remotely with folks. I usually try to start off with just the foundations of health first. And then if we have to go into further testing to kind of dial in some things, we can, but it's mostly about mindset, nervous system stuff, and the foundation. But you can find me at thelimeboss.com, pretty easy. And there's all kinds of free resources on there. Like I've got a free cooking series called Real Cooking for Real Life. Because I found when I was talking to people about diet, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. And then they walk in the kitchen and go, crap, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I'm going to check that out.
yeah. So I put together this like 7-video course of Real Cooking for Real Life, where I take 3 tools in the kitchen and show you how to make a beautiful, delicious, healthy meal in under 30 minutes. And it's entertaining as well as educational. It's a very raw look in my kitchen because I was just kind of doing it as I was my everyday cooking life. So it's not like a studio and set up. Like it's real. It's real cooking for real life, right? Because it sucks to be able to teach people tools, but then because of this one hang up of not knowing what to do in the kitchen, and they can't cook, right? So I was like, all right, let's fix that.
That's great. Gosh, it sounds like you do so many wonderful things for the Lyme community, and we need people like you in our little village. So that's amazing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And you're doing the podcast. They can find out about that too at limeboss.com. And then also you've written a book, right?
I read wrote a chapter in a collaborative book. Okay. So it was on Lyme and autoimmune. But it's called The Needs Gap. But yeah, all that information is on the website for the most part. The podcast can be found on YouTube and on Spotify, The Lyme Boss. So everything, whether it's Facebook, any social media, type in The Lyme Boss.
And The Lyme Boss. That's easy to remember. We got that.
I like it. Cool. Well, it's been awesome. And thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thank you for all the people you're helping, and thank you for sharing your journey.
Thanks for giving me a place where I can share, because I really, it's a huge passion of mine. And if only one person can hear something and give them hope, right? They don't give up like anything. It makes my jacked up backstory worth it. Right. So I appreciate you folks.
I absolutely agree. Yes. Yes. And you do. This podcast is going to give much hope and inspiration to those listeners. So that's what we're looking for. Thank you so much, Heather.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Thanks. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.